Hello, everyone. My name is Cinnamon Rogers, and I lead CompTIA's advocacy team. CompTIA is the leading voice and advocate for the global IT industry through education, training, certifications, advocacy, philanthropy, and market research. Our organization is the hub for advancing the tech industry and its workforce. Thanks so much for joining us to learn more about how the federal government is helping state and local jurisdictions, as well as industry, identify and manage their essential workforce during this COVID-19 crisis. Given most states in the U.S. have shelter in place or stay-at-home orders right now, determining which workers are essential to keep our country functioning is a difficult task. For that reason, the Department of Homeland Security, through its Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, which from now on you will hear us refer to as CISA, that will be the acronym of the day, CISA has spent the last month working to come up with recommendations that help guide states when making these decisions. CISA has now released 3 iterations of this guidance, originally released on March 19th of 2020. Version 2.0 was subsequently released on March 28th of 2020. And we are now on version 3.0, released on April 17th of 2020 as of this recording. So this podcast is designed to give listeners information on the current guidance, sort of a 101, and also provide insight on how states today are actually implementing these recommendations. So with that, a quick introduction to our podcast panel. Savannah Schaefer on CompTIA's federal team will be providing us with the latest and greatest information as it relates to CISA's efforts. She leads our cyber advocacy portfolio. And Sarah Matz on our state team will provide her assessment of what's happening on the ground at the state level. She leads our state procurement policy work, as well as managing all of our lobbying efforts in Texas and the southern region of the U.S. Okay, so let's start with you, Savannah. Given the importance of maintaining critical functions during the COVID-19 crisis that we're living through now, how does the government prioritize which functions are essential?
Sure. Thanks, Cinnamon. So since at least 2013, Presidential Policy Directive 21 has designated 16 different critical infrastructure sectors. These are those parts of our economy that are so crucial that if they stopped functioning, it would be debilitating for the nation at large. There are sectors like communications, critical manufacturing, defense, healthcare, information technology, energy, finance, food and agriculture, transportation, and more. Since COVID-19 hit, within the Department of Homeland Security, FEMA and CISA have been working together to coordinate the emergency support function response efforts across the interagency, and as well as with state, local, tribal, and territorial governments, and with private sector stakeholders to help ensure that appropriate safety steps are taken and that critical functions can continue throughout the course of the pandemic. As part of this effort, CISA has been developing guidance through the lens of these established 16 critical infrastructure sectors to help decision makers at every level of government, as well as their non-governmental partners, prioritize which functions should continue, what workers should remain active in their traditional workspaces, and in consultation with the Center for Disease Control and Health and Human Services, what safety practices should be followed.
So there are 16 critical infrastructure sectors that you mentioned, communications, critical manufacturing, and information technology among them. What kind of guidance is CISA providing to help ensure that these sectors can continue critical operations?
So among a number of different documents and other kinds of resources, CISA has created the Essential Critical Infrastructure Workforce Guidance, which is an advisory list of types of workers who conduct a range of operations and services that are typically essential to the continued viability of these critical infrastructure sectors, including things like staffing operations centers, maintenance and repair, operating call centers, working construction, and more. It also includes workers who support critical supply chains and enable functions for critical infrastructure. This advisory list of types of essential critical infrastructure workers is meant to help public officials and employers identify essential work functions and communicate that across the community of people that influence what stays open and who can go where.
Okay, well, that all sounds very straightforward. Sarah, can you speak to how this guidance is actually being implemented and any challenges that folks on the ground face when they're using this guidance?
Sure, thanks, Cinnamon. State and local governments are truly on the front lines of the COVID-19 response. And as Savannah mentioned, providing essential information and services in the areas of healthcare, education, emergency services, and unemployment assistance, just to name a few. While most state and local governments are using the CISA guidance, many local jurisdictions began issuing their stay-at-home orders prior to any guidance from CISA. So this created a lot of challenges as city, state, and local governments issued conflicting orders, and some smaller jurisdictions lacked continuity of operation plans altogether. Recognizing these challenges, CISA was incredibly helpful in working with the various stakeholders in government, as well as the private sector, to shape their guidance and get it out to the public for widespread use. Now local jurisdictions are incorporating this guidance by referencing it in their own messaging about community restrictions, access management, social distancing, or closure directives. That said, even the most detailed language can leave room for ambiguity, and in this case, there's no single arbiter of how language applies in every situation. For any given worker, including contract employees, there are several entities who must agree that the worker is essential for them to continue going to their place of business and continuing work every day. Their employer certainly, but also state and local officials, their partners and suppliers, facility owners, and any others whom they rely on to complete their work. Not to mention jurisdictional differences of opinion if a worker's job requires coordination across city, state, and even county lines.
So that's really interesting, Sarah. So then back to you, Savannah. What steps has CISA taken to address these challenges?
Well, Sarah's right. This is no easy task. And with that in mind, CISA has published this guidance as a living document so that they can continue to receive and incorporate feedback as the situation evolves. They released version 3.0, as you mentioned, Cinnamon, on Friday, and among other changes, added new language specifying, for example, that workers manufacturing or providing parts and equipment that enable the maintenance and continued operation of essential businesses and facilities should also be considered essential. So this should hopefully speak to folks that are further downstream in the supply chain that may be less clear about whether they should be considered essential or not. CISA also continues to hold stakeholder calls every Tuesday and Thursday to spread awareness, provide updates, and field input on the status of their business and infrastructure partners, which has been great. And they continue working day by day with the cross-sector coordinating council leadership of each of the 16 critical infrastructure sectors to improve response as the situation evolves.
Okay, thanks. So then now a question for both of you, and that's what happens next. How is the IT sector positioning itself as we look toward the next several weeks of COVID response? What can or should we expect when restrictions start to get lifted across the country? Maybe we can start with you, Sarah, if you can let us know sort of what you're seeing on the ground out there in Texas.
Well, several states, including Texas, have already begun relaxing some restrictions. Most states are introducing plans for reopening, but all of this creates challenges for our companies who are operating across state lines. But most jurisdictions are taking a very measured approach with an eye toward getting the economy moving again, getting people back to work, as well as working with state and federal health officials to help guide their decisions as they reopen. The IT sector has been called upon to support more professionals working from home, as well as maintaining the delivery of essential services online. And this pandemic has highlighted that too many government agencies at the federal, state, and local levels are using systems that are too old and expensive to maintain, which makes engaging in remote work or seamlessly delivering public services online more difficult. I suspect that as things begin to normalize, state and local governments will look at policies aimed at continuity of government and investment in IT workers and infrastructure.
Savannah, any thoughts?
So certainly we will continue efforts to harmonize the implementation of the essential critical infrastructure workforce guidance across the U.S. While making sure that state, local, tribal, and territorial governments have the resources they need to protect their communities and continue critical operations. I think conversations across governments internationally will also be vital to ensuring that we can continue to function here in the U.S. and abroad. As we move into the next weeks of this pandemic response, that will be even more important to make sure global IT supply chains can operate as backup inventory in some cases begins to deplete. Looking toward recovery, communicating clear collective guidance across the board will be equally important as CISA, FEMA, and other agencies continue planning a phased back-in approach The cross-sector coordinating councils will also be developing resources for critical infrastructure sectors to transition out of shelter-in-place type restrictions. We look forward to continuing our work with DHS on this and welcome ongoing input from CompTIA members as the situation continues to evolve.
Well, that's terrific. Well, and a huge thanks to both of you for sharing your insights and knowledge on this today. CompTIA and its members are very lucky to have both of you doing the work that you do on behalf of the IT industry. And for those listening, please find additional information on CISA's coronavirus response efforts on CompTIA's COVID-19 resource hub, which includes CISA's recent guidance documents and many other helpful resources for the IT community. You can find that at covid19.comptia.org. Thank you so much.